audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 24, 2012. The Secret of the Upper Light. While reading the Zohar, we mustn't forget that but it is only speaking about the connection among us in its different forms. The Zohar tells us how we can rise by this connection to higher levels each time. How we can strengthen it through the three lines, the new Reshimot, informational genes, awakenings, illuminations in the levels of Ibur, conception, Yenika, nurturing, and Morkin, maturity, and so forth. This is all in order to tighten the connection among us, which means to connect our vessel more and more tightly by correcting the shattering and according to the intensity of the connection to discover the attribute of mutual bestowal that resides among the parts that were separated, and which are now connecting to each other above our ego. This is called the upper light that is revealed among us. If the parts annul themselves only in order to connect, it is called the light of Hasadim, but if they also work with their ego in order to connect, it is called the light of Chokmah. This is connection, and there is nothing but that. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson May 21, 2012, the Zohar. The Mutual Guarantee Connection. By our efforts to be included in the center of the group, we will learn what mutual guarantee is. This isn't a theoretical concept and not some static state, it is a method, a plan, of the connection among us. It absolutely determines how we stick to one another, like cogwheels. But we must constantly remain both close and separate from one another because it is this state that enables us to keep the uniqueness of everyone and to find what everyone's part is in the general life. Everyone adds and enriches the others by wanting to adhere to everyone, despite the feeling of separation. It is like a living organism in which every organ keeps its uniqueness and doesn't annul itself among the other organs, forgetting the special job entrusted to it. On the contrary, it performs its job faithfully by using all its special attributes and discernments and by them expressing its uniqueness to others. One island green, another is yellow, and a third one is blue. Everyone keeps his color, but we all contribute our colors into one whole wonderful picture. Therefore, mutual guarantee and the concept of connection itself are revealed only in the center, where we learn to combine the two ends, personal freedom and our collective dependence. We begin to respect our separation and understand why the Creator created us with an evil inclination. We see how He helps us by standing in our way to connect. The ego is no less important than the force of connection, standing directly in front of it equally. Only by the gap between the two, on the one hand, the feeling of my oppositeness and on the other hand the equality, do I acquire an understanding, recognition and mind. I remain separate and still adhere to the center. Thanks to that, all the infinite space between the separation and the adhesion, the whole distance between the point of this world and the world of the Ein Sof, becomes the place for the revelation of the essence of the Creator. Otherwise, I would never be able to attain Him. I would remain as one point that was lost and melted into the light. Therefore, our main constant work is to clarify the center of the group, in order to find our place and to discover this concept more clearly until we reach Gamut Tikkun, the end of correction. On the way we attain the worlds, Part Tsufim, and the upper Sefirot because they all symbolize our relationship. Everything the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about, the whole path, starting from the point of unity that exists thanks to the upper force until the point of unity that was created by our efforts, is the revelation of different ways of connection among us, called the worlds, Part Tsufim and Sefirot. But when we clarify the system of connections among us, we discover that it actually determines the conditions for resembling the upper light. So our connection is increasingly more adapted to the upper light and accordingly the light is revealed in this connection as the force of vitality, the force of attainment and understanding. This feeling of life grows stronger until all the connections among us are corrected and then the light, the force of life, is revealed in its full measure. from the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 22, 2012, talk about the workshop. In the shower of the upper light. Question: is it true that during the workshop we seemingly enter the center of the group, and during the lesson from the Zohar, we are already reading from within the center of the group about what is taking place there? Answer: it depends on how a person scrutinizes and feels himself. It could be that he simply reads, or even when he constantly thinks about it, even if he doesn't listen or understand the words themselves, the reading itself bestows holiness and purity on him, and this advances him. Or it could be that he also longs to connect with the text, to understand what is written there, since after all, spiritual acts are spoken about there. The ten sefirot, either on the smallest level or largest level, are the same ten sefirot. This means that everything that is written here, without doubt, takes place in the first and lowest parts of that I acquire. I acquire the first ten sefirot, at the level of pregnancy, and in any case, also everything described in the Zohar will take place there, the entire Torah from beginning to end, at every level. It's like a holographic picture, and therefore, it is written about me. Even if we are speaking about the parts of him that are so very high, like Atik of the world of Atzilut, and Abavema, father and mother, it all takes place in each level and in all kinds of details, but it takes place. Therefore, the text gives me a feeling of belonging, and it helps me to yearn. The main thing is that I want to be under its influence, like in a shower of light. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 22nd of May 2012, the Zohar. Breakthrough via the shared center of the circle. Question: what is the difference between a lesson and a workshop? Answer: the workshop serves as preparation for the lesson. And so, each lesson should also be similar to a workshop, since we must prepare the common intention, the desire to become one, the one corresponding to the unified desire of one force. Without any preceding preparation like this, it would not be the learning of the Torah, but the study of wisdom. The study of the Torah symbolizes the disclosure of the evil inclination that needs to be corrected. The correction of the evil inclination is the connection with others and the attainment of love, the correction of the breaking. Thus, each lesson needs to become an addition to the workshop and bring us to a higher level. In the workshops, we learn how to prepare quickly for each lesson. Then, all of our lives will transform into one incessant workshop. This is so that we never lose the feeling of unity and constantly connect more and more. In this way, we examine all the details in the common kli and solve all the problems in life as a whole, both corporeal and spiritual. By our acting from within the center of the group, from within our shared feeling, we can perform real miracles. The workshop is a clarification of our intention, the connection, our necessity to connect between us, mutual guarantee, responsibility, the commitment of each one for the other in the general group, and the obligation in regard to our teachers, the sources, and the entire world. Everything together determines our responsibility and the only obligation to the Creator. Through our uniting in a circle, we create a place in this central point through which it is possible to break out of the material borders. Everything is in the hands of the group. Thus, the subject of the discussion is not so important, but the main thing is how we try to connect via the subject. This means that it is just a means of searching after a greater connection. All the worlds, part Sufim, Sefirot, and Reshimot are clarified only in the center of the group, where the steps of the spiritual ladder are revealed. Nevertheless, only now are we starting the work from the beginning. All of these workshops will go into the archive so that every person in the world can use them to emotionally participate in this work and advance. In the end, the entire world will become one group around one round table, one family. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 20th, 2012, talk about past conventions. Protesting constructively. Question: social protest is being reborn today in Israel. As people find that prices are excessively inflated, people feel used, and this unites them. Answer: that is right. There is an external impression that a protest is able to lead to real changes. Once well organized, it is possible to, for example, lower the prices twofold on products. However, the Creator intentionally shows us this deceiving picture, as if in this way we were able to correct something He has ruined, and live happily. In reality, in the end we will not achieve anything this way, even if all calculations point to an enhancement of welfare. It seems like before I barely lasted until payday and now I can even spend my money on other things. But the problem is that this will not happen. After all, the Creator wants us to rise above our lives through these exercises. Just like at a certain point, a father begins to appear before his son in different images, forced formidableness, false coldness, etc. This is not just different facial expressions and changes of tone, this helps the son learn his father's behavior. A small child is simply frightened by severity, but a bigger child thinks, why does he do this? What does he want? Once he matures a bit more, the son already understands his father's intentions. He already sees what his father wishes to teach him, and he joins the father. His love and his training program, what does he want to show to my ruined desire with his unsatisfied expression? How do I change this desire to see a smile on his face? After all, the Creator wants us to associate ourselves with Him, perceive His mind and feeling and rise to a new degree, instead of dealing with the faces that this world is making. And this is why a social protest will not bear success and will not make our lives easier. The question here is, are we using the awakening of the people to bring them to the objectives they need to reach today? The time has come to explain the situation to the people. No matter how low the prices drop, we will not see any real benefit. A person lives through sensations, and even shopping with the money saved will not help him. He will be set up so that instead of feeling pleasure, he will become more depressed. On the background of well-being, we will see a wave of suicides or an increase in drug abuse. Stop making short-term plans, nearsightedly expecting to take it out on those who rob us. Robbery is not limited to tycoons, however, we are not speaking about human egoism, but the one who is playing with us through these examples. So, we need to find a clear explanation to make people gradually understand what is happening. One way or another, if the protest is not directed towards unity, when its purpose is to get even with someone, this will only harm people. Talk about crazy prices only blinds a person and shuts his mouth instead of bringing fulfillment to his heart and the mind. If all of humanity is not raised to the point of the realization of the upper force, the suffering will only keep increasing. The Creator wants to bring you closer, but you play with price tags and chant populist slogans. This will only turn into greater suffering. Even if you were to take all the money from tycoons, you will still have nothing left tomorrow. Because you will waste these billions, loose workplaces, and will leave people with no earnings, instead of what they have now, even if it is insufficient. We need to begin with the cause and not the consequence. The Creator creates this situation so we will come to Him. Do social protests lead to Him? They do if they push us towards unity. But if they are about breaking and bringing someone down, then number rise a little and see what is driving everything. There is nothing that can be done without changing human nature, which determines the current system. Change it, raise people, this is the solution. Otherwise, for the happiness of the haters, you will bring things to the point of a revolution, like those which already have been so numerous in history. From the fourth part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 18, 2012, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. A connection type defines a property. Opinion: Nicholas Christakis, M.D., Ph.D., co-author of Connected, the surprising power of our social networks and how they shape our lives. One of the key ideas about human social networks is that, in the addition of ties between people and specific patterns of ties that obey particular mathematical rules, the whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts. The collection of human beings have properties that do not reside within the individuals, and this collection of human beings is now able to do things that they previously were not able to do. And one of the illustrations or examples that I most like to give about this is something that most people are familiar with from high school or college chemistry, and that is the example of carbon. So, you can take carbon atoms, and you can assemble the carbon atoms into graphite, and here we put a particular hexagonal pattern of ties, and you get sheets of graphite, and this graphite is soft and dark. Or, we can take the same carbon atoms and assemble them differently into a kind of a perimeteral structure with the ties between them, the bonds between the carbon atoms, and we get diamond, which is hard and clear, and these properties of softness and darkness, or hardness and clearness, first of all, differ dramatically, not because the carbon is different. The carbon is the same in both, but rather because of the ties between the carbon atoms. And second, these properties are not properties of the carbon atoms. They're properties of the group, properties of the collection of carbon atoms. Therefore, when we take constituent elements and assemble them to a larger whole, this larger whole can have properties that we could not have foreseen merely by studying the individual elements and properties which do not reside within the individual elements. My comment, through the unity between us, we create the property that brings the upper energy, Ohrmachtkraft, to us. Due to this influence, we become changed from obvious egoists to altruists. A new kind of stress, boredom at work. Opinion. Dr. Sandy Mann, a senior psychology lecturer at the University of Central Lancashire, according to new studies, boredom in the workplace is growing, affecting everyone from the high flyers to the drones. Boredom, after anger, is the second most commonly suppressed emotion in the workplace. What's more, Dr. Mann believes fewer of us are willing to put up with boredom as we expect every aspect of our lives to be fulfilling, an attitude that would have been far less common among older generations with a more practical outlook. A study on the link between counterproductive work behavior and boredom by Montclair State University and University of South Florida identified 6 ways bored employees might harm their organizations: by abusing others, by production deviance, purposely failing at tasks, sabotage, withdrawal, theft and horseplay. The most common of which is withdrawal. Mark Durand, from the University of Cambridge's Judge Business School, also says there is a type of boredom where professionals get bored not because they don't have enough work, but because they feel they have nothing worthwhile to do. My comment, to the extent of the growth of egoism and, moreover, to the extent of it turning into a spiral, when it becomes globally integral, all the negative effects and emotions will be more and more manifested, and no psychological trick will help, except for the correction of egoism itself. A life-transforming team. Question. Let's say that a group of integral learning specialists, including economists, arrives in a small town. What should they be like in order to properly organize the economic process? Answer. The entire group has already completed a course of integral education. They understand it and know what they need to do. Naturally, different corrections will arise along the way because every year is a new year, the situation and people are new, and the specialists are gaining experience. But in general, everyone in the group knows the common plan of action well. They operate as a completely separate team who only do social educational work with the population. Question. Do the economists also need to feel the essence of the integral method, or is superficial knowledge enough for them? Answer. No. I think that the main group needs to be deeply in this method, understanding that there is no other solution to the crisis, and they need to start learning it and gaining experience. Of course, initially there will be some mistakes and discrepancies regarding the plan, the timetable, etc. Naturally, there will be problems with the local management and other yet unknown problems. But despite this, it's necessary to gradually create the form of a common team, which would be capable of quickly adapting to any place and would be able to take on the work regardless of the kind of management or local conditions. Therefore, an integral approach towards creating this needs to be developed. I think that this is possible. It's best to depend as little as possible on the local management. Never try to argue with them, but simply explain how this will benefit them, and that we have really come to help them. From CAB TV's Experimental City, Education, March 3, 2012. Economic and moral effect. Question: typically economists do not delve into the essence of various methodologies because primarily they are interested in efficiency and speed of implementation. But the method of integral education is something different, unhurried, the family and home. How is this conflict resolved? Do leaders need to delve into the integral approach? Answer: no. They want to see good results from introducing this methodology, including economic. There will be fewer robberies, theft on the streets, fewer illnesses, and various other public complaints. There will be a calmer atmosphere, more rational consumption, and people settling for much less. And that will adjust the whole situation in the city to the extent that there will be less pressure on public services and everything else. Moreover, we can calculate what economic effect the integral education will bring. Despite the fact that definitely a cost is associated with it, there will certainly be an economic impact. We can calculate and prove that even without a difficult situation, such as closing the only company giving life to an entire city, it is still worth carrying out educational activities throughout the city. As a result, a total budget of the nation would suddenly gain tens of billions of dollars. And this is in addition to improvements in the general well-being of the population and a reduction in mortality, divorces, and everything else. From a talk on Integral Upbringing number 23, March 2, 2012. Education, the main law of modern times. Question: in what form should the structure of Integral Upbringing be introduced in a smaller town? Should a prepared team of specialists be invited there? Answer: it is impossible to provide a town with a population of 50,000 with an army of visiting specialists. It is impossible to fathom the unfathomable. At the maximum, a team of 20 should be invited, and all the rest would be through the virtual delivery of knowledge. Then, people should be gathered in big groups to lectures and to events such as festivals and public parties under the auspices of integrality. It is necessary to simultaneously train local specialists. In the same manner as there are municipal workers everywhere, the city also should have specialists on integral upbringing who will be continuing to educate children, elders, and the entire population. It is necessary to provide them with media materials, and overall to lay a foundation for this process to continue infinitely. Question: when such action takes place, at first, people feel enthusiastic as they join the common action. Then the guests from the capital leave and this wave of enthusiasm recedes. What is to be done next so that it does not dwindle to nothing? Answer: I think that integral upbringing should be accepted as a law without which society can no longer exist. That is, it must be the most important, principal law of the city or society, founded upon compatibility, integrality, and on mutual complements and voluntary participation. Everything that is done today by various agencies and decided in courts, police and other authorities will be decided on a completely different level. However, a serious education department is needed for this. Thus, it is crucial to create a budget, material incentives, and the content for the entire system that will be engaged in education. Question: Is the education department a separate agency? Answer: I think that it should not report to anyone, only to the country's Common Upbringing Center. Question: What about economists? Answer: They cannot do anything because local ideological departments do not report to anyone but the main ideological center. I cannot imagine that it could be any other way. Economists cannot direct education. They cannot meddle with the process of upbringing and education in schools. If any problems arise, they either should be solved together or at a higher level, but one does not loom over another. From a talk on Integral Upbringing number 23, March 2nd, 2012. Towards the Center of Life. Question: How can I check that I have returned to the center of the group during the workshop? Answer: The center of the group is our only upper point, the upper desire, the place where all our desires unite, and wherever we look we see divinity, the revelation of the Creator. We will learn to check this in more professional ways in the future, according to the three parts of the existence of reality, world, year, soul, according to the three lines. But as long as we cannot hold on to all these spiritual discernments, I check that I have reached the center of the group when I begin to discover that there is something outside my I. It is as if I am under the influence of the force that is above me, which controls me, but only according to my desire, only if I let it control me. It doesn't enslave me as often happens in other methods when a person is hypnotized like a zombie under their influence and cannot escape. Here I am constantly conscious and fully understand. I understand that I can disconnect myself from this influence. Yet, I constantly choose to stay under its control. Every time I choose a greater connection, I add finer discernments to this state, both in feeling and in the mind. This means that I am at the most central point. This central point begins to grow in relation to me and to clarify different discernments that are in it: my attitude to the friends, to myself, to the study, to the teacher, and to the whole world. I feel that all my relationships and my connections with everyone are centered in this one point. This means that I begin to work on it in every situation in my life. In order not to detach myself from this center, I have to invest emotional and mental efforts in the mind and heart. According to these efforts, I will discover what the true mind and heart are, because these are not ordinary corporeal attributes, but rather special spiritual attributes. All my work is to clarify to what extent I can adhere to the center, to the upper, in every situation. I am like an organ that is returned to its place, that feels that it isn't simply stitched onto the body, but begins to live in it, to use its powers, and to bestow something on my part by taking part in the collective actions. This is already the feeling of life. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 22nd, 2012, talk about the workshop.